Welcome to Thrive. How's everybody doing? Good to have, wasn't the baptisms awesome today? Man, just that is life-giving. Watching people, no matter what the age is, stepping into their next step of their spiritual journey. And I just want to remind you, you are on a next step. Maybe you don't know where you are, but I'm telling you, you have a next step of your spiritual journey. What's a spiritual journey? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And whatever he wants, he will put in your heart if you'll be willing to listen and be obedient, and he'll guide you into that next step. And can I tell you, life will never be better whenever you start taking those next steps. I promise you, it will never be better going forward. And so I have a friend of mine who is all about next steps. He's a good friend of mine from Spring, Texas, and we are in our series, Real Talk. And I thought with this topic that people requested during our Easter service, we did a little survey, I said, there's nobody better to talk about this than my brother from Spring. And so he also, his name's Juan Martinez, by the way, over here. He's also an author. He's co-authored 3 books, and he has a book out front, Prison Break. I'd love for you to support him, grab that. He'll even sign it today. But he's going to be up here as well afterward to pray for anybody. I'm getting you loaded up here. He says, hey, man, I'm not a Puerto Rican. I'm not an American. I'm a Hevican. And so just let him know I'm coming from a Hevican standpoint. So would y'all give it up for my Hevican friend, Juan Martinez?
Oh, man. I love you. I love you. I can't wait to introduce you sometime. So, you know, yeah, as you can tell, we wear the sweatshirt. You know, one time I was preaching and I, you know, it was when like there's all this division, you know, there's a lot of racial division. And, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, right? My wife's Mexican. And so, you know, I'm proud to be an American, right? And so, one day I was preaching and I was saying, man, we're citizens of heaven. We're Hevicans. And so that's how that came about, right? Because if you're from Puerto Rico, you're a Puerto Rican. If you're from America, you're an American. If you're a citizen of heaven, then yes, all hail King Jesus, but you are a Hevican. You know that I'm just going to go here, okay? I'm just going to go here. You know, that means a lot. Like, we can laugh and stuff, but the truth is that has a lot behind it. In other words, like, when I was young, there was these people that would park in New York, the diplomatic plates, and they would, like, park the way we couldn't park, and I would get so upset, because I would see that car, and I'd be like, man, how come they get to do that? And then later, I found out that we were ambassadors of Christ, and I started learning about the diplomatic plates and all that. See, even though they are in America, they operate out of where they're from. They don't have to follow the rules here because they are from France or from wherever they're from. See, as a citizen of heaven, I'm a Hevican. Wherever I am, there heaven is. That's how it's supposed to be, unless you don't know the truth. And so then, you know, you're not free and you're spreading unhealthy stuff. So we're going to talk about, I love the fact that I'm on here on The Real Talk because we have a show called This Is Real. And so we're selling books, these books, John Ramirez, a couple of the, you know, the guys out there, Demon Slayers, you know, I know them personally, all this stuff, right? And I'm always telling them, look, man, I get what you guys are saying because we do a lot of deliverance, a lot of that stuff. But I go, we have to have foundational truths because people are walking around thinking, they go watch a movie, they come out, they think it's, and everybody's just waving their hand. And most people's deliverance is just somebody yelling at you, right? And then I'm like, yeah, the dude yelling ain't free, and the person they trying to get free is not free. And then we all understood from COVID that if you're sick, you spread that. And it's so interesting that we're okay with just coming to church and not knowing the truth. So you have a lot of churchianity, not enough Christianity. In other words, you're not denying yourself and carrying your cross, therefore you're not a disciple. And I thought that this whole thing was about that. Now you're just like, this guy's going to start talking all this. So I like taking deep things and making them simple, you know, to give you a little comfort. Well, first, I'll scare you a little bit. Did about 10 years of prison, right? You know, I was one of the brothers, the drummer. You know, I was showing him my green tats. I was like, all my ink is green. So I got 10 years of prison, 23 years around the bars I placed around my heart. In other words, when I go to the prisons, I usually tell the guys, look, you think that when you walk out the door, you're going to be free. But the truth is, you were incarcerated before you got incarcerated. The reason you keep getting incarcerated is because you have a mindset that has a stronghold and it's in bondage and you're stuck. The reason you still keep going to the same relationships is because you don't see right, so you keep picking wrong. If it's a different name, but it's the same person, because if you don't change the way you think, you'll never pick right. Your picker's off. Are you following me? So today I want to give you truth that you can argue with me all day long. But remember, for me, 23 years around the bars I had around my heart. So you think you're going to do a new thing. I try to run all over the planet. I've been incarcerated all over the planet. So wherever I went, there I was. Like, look at me running from myself. Like, the truth is that it doesn't matter where you go, there you are. So you think a new relationship or a new job or a new thing. And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, because the thing that fights best is truth. I could have came at this 15 different ways, right? I could have went with Ephesians 6. But I want to give you a verse to show you how you play a role in somebody else's deliverance. But you have to know the truth, the knowledge of the truth first. Are you with me? So today, it's kind of one of these things. I'm going to start it a little different than the last one, because I kind of felt like I needed to tell you this. So you see the children of Israel, they're in Egypt, and he has this plan and this purpose, and he puts Moses in a little basket. You know the story. If you don't, I'm going to give it to you right now in my way. So he winds up in a palace, and he grows up with some palace thinking. Now, these people in Egypt, they're actually praying, Lord, help me. I'm stuck. You know, that's pretty much, I'm stuck in this relationship. I'm addicted to drugs, whatever that is. They're stuck. So he doesn't answer them. Isn't that funny? Like, I always think about that. I go, man, why didn't God just go that way? Well, he doesn't, because they have a slave mentality. So he has to create a whole plan to put this guy that's just like them. And you say, well, you ain't just like me. Well, when I kind of did my little job description that I gave you a little while ago, drug dealer, I kind of went from Hoboken, New Jersey, Puerto Rican, in a fast city, and then came all the way because I had the dream. I watched enough movies and I believed them. And so I wind up in a place called McAllen, Texas, Donna, Texas, Edimburgo, Texas. You know, then I went to a small place called Breckenridge, Texas, and I was the main meth distributor from Dallas, Mesquite, all the way to Odessa, Midland, all of 20 and 30. So for those that go, oh, he doesn't understand. What are you talking about? I got scars to prove it. I've been in 11 gun incidents. Fast forward, I'm a pastor of a church of over 600 people. I've planted campuses. I mentor other pastors. I just got my doctorate last year. I started reading at 36, but I went to school at 40. So that throws away every excuse you kind of have. Like, at this point, if you're like, I've been in church my whole life, then what are you waiting for? It's almost like we say we believe, but we actually don't believe. Everybody claims they want the truth, but when the truth comes to the surface, most people can't handle it or don't want to hear it. In other words, he had to give Moses some palace thinking to go back and actually tell them so that they could believe him, because he was one of their own. So today I got sent here to tell you something so that you could break free, or so that you can receive healing, or so that it can break addiction, because all you have to do is actually believe some of these verses I'm going to preach to you. Are you with me? Yes, tap your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, tap your neighbor. Come on. You're like, I ain't tapping my neighbor. And that's probably your issue. We call it pride. Get in this thing. It ain't. Some of y'all haven't had this much fun in a long time. I feel religion coming in a couple places, but you know, that's okay, because I got a doctorate last year. So according, it's the truth. So I got it on my wall. I just hung it up after a year later. I'm like, let me put it up. It really didn't make me feel any smarter, but I'm telling you that just in case you're like, this guy has no theology. Well, you're wrong. I have a doctorate. God will take the foolish things of this world and to confine the wise all day long. I just believe that laughter is medicine. I believe the Bible. So I just saved you on some doctor bills for 2025. Just because you got a couple of laughs, I just helped you. So thank me after. But let me give you some scripture. Why did Jesus come into the world? That is the question. I want you to think in your heart right now, because it's going to actually show you where you're at. Doesn't mean you're an evil person because you don't know it, or you might have the wrong answer. But when heaven, when truth meets your lie, deliverance. And some of us are operating out of a lie, thinking that it's true because you've heard it your whole life, or somebody that told you that you trusted, but they didn't have the knowledge of the truth. So now you're operating out of a lie because you believe the lie. We call that biting the apple. Once you digest it and you think you understand the truth, but you're actually understanding a lie and you live that way, it actually kills, steals, and destroys everything in your life. So the area of your life that's getting killed, stolen, and destroyed is the area of your life that you believe a lie in. That's actually the proof. The difference between me, meth days, and me today. Let me honor your pastors. Give a round of applause to your pastors. Pastor Nathan. You're like, this guy, it's okay. You're like, did he just get out of the sermon to honor? Absolutely, and I'm going to honor my wife as well, baby Ruth. And I just heard it in my head, like, honor them. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And so I'm hoping that today you will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Isn't it interesting that Jesus always said that? And last I checked, everybody here walked in with some ears. No matter where I travel around the United States and some of the world, they have ears. If you're rich, you have ears. If you're poor, you have ears. If you're country boy, you have ears. And if you're a city slicker, you have ears. If you're black, white, Puerto Rican, Haitian, Jamaican, ears. Yet most of us have ears, yet we don't listen. How do you know? Because listening is a two-sided coin. See, if you listen, the other side of that coin is obedience. In other words, if I tell my son, Josh, hey, throw out that trash, and I see that the trash isn't thrown away, I have to think one of two things. Either he's rebelling and not listening to me, or he didn't hear me. So I say, Josh, you didn't throw out the trash? He goes, sorry, sir, I didn't hear you. Okay, fine. I was playing PlayStation. I'll be there in a minute. You know, in my home, he gets spoken pastor like a G, because I go, you must have me twisted. I come, let's talk. For those that you must have me twisted, in other words, you must have me confused or not in the right state of mind. John 18, 33, 38. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you asking this of your own, or have somebody else told you about me? In other words, in the things that you know about God, is it just because you heard somebody preach it, or after he preached it, you went home and read it for yourself, and you understand salvation, you know how to work out your salvation, you understand that God is holy, you understand his redemptive power, you understand sanctification, all big words to say, are you believing the truth and set apart for the kingdom? So he's asking him, are you hearing that from hearsay, or did you learn that from me? Did you get that from God, right? I am not a Jew, am I? Pilate replied, your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? My kingdom is not of this world, says Jesus. My kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. You are a king then, Pilate asked. You say I'm a king, Jesus replied. I was born for this. And I have come. So I was born for this. I don't know, when I hear stuff like that, drum roll, for this. You might have thought of 50 things to redeem me, to save me from hell, to all these things. But I was born for this. And I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Asked Pilate. Now, I love, this is where my expertise in incarceration and courtrooms does well. Because I see this, and when I see I was born for this, to testify of the truth, I know that the only person that could testify in a courtroom can't be someone that is on, like, let's say the guy's on meth or doing drugs or an alcoholic or any, he can't testify on the stand because he might sell you out for $20. So he's gone. It had to be a person, a credible witness, is someone who was actually there. I believe that one day we will get to heaven and many will hear the prosecutor of heaven jump up and go, he said, well, I knew you. He said, that was hearsay. You only learned that because your grandmother brought you to church, and you learned that because you've been raised in this town and you've learned these little things and you learn how to say it. You learn it out of a 30-second reel, yet your life doesn't have the fruit that says that you are and you belong to Jesus. I think it's so interesting that Jesus is the only credible witness to actually say, hey, I come here to testify of the truth. I've been with the truth. And I come here to show you the truth. That's amazing to me. I'm like, what? He's the only credible one. He's the only one found without sin. He's the only one that doesn't have to lie to kick it. Romans 1:22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to give you three big words: rationalism, pragmatism, and relativism. Because the world is always putting truth on trial. That's what the world is always doing. The reason we live in most of our mess is because we think we have the truth. When I go inside the prisons, I always tell guys this. Oh, and let me tell you this. Because you think, well, this book, he's writing a lot about prison. No, this is actually what inspired this book, was that I became a pastor. And I know what it's like to be stuck. When you're sitting in prison, you're looking at the barbed wire, everybody breaks out. Right? Because, you know, you don't break out, but you think about it. How would you do it? Oh, man. And you're thinking about, well, I wonder what it would be like to be on the other side. I come, I become a pastor, and I notice that most people in church are incarcerated. I'm stuck, pastor. Pastor. I don't know how to do this, pastor. And then you try to give them the truth, and they usually get offended, and they want to run. And so there's these three things. Rationalism is truth in which your mind can know and make sense. It's viewed in a lot of academic, like when people get doctorates and all that, if they learn something out of a text and they can't rationalize with what that is, then it must not be true, because what I know out of this book is true. And then there's pragmatism. It defines terms of what works. So if something works for you today, that's truth. But if something else works for you tomorrow, then the truth changes. Call that unstable. In all your ways, expect not to receive anything from God. But anyway, that's a whole nother message. Then we have relativism. Y'all know this one. This is the one for now. These views are my truth and your truth. And if your truth conflicts with mine, then I'm free to ignore yours, because I have a truth and you have a truth, but we don't have the truth. The truth always builds bridges. The truth always brings peace. The truth sets us, everybody say it with me, free. Man. John 1:17. Let me give you all these messages to get to the final message, the final scripture, so that you could understand how you could help someone else who needs deliverance. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. That's how I know when people are speaking truth. If it doesn't have both, if it doesn't have grace and truth, some people just want to give truth with no grace. That's like surgery without anesthesia. And if you give grace without truth, then you just pretty much got them high. In other words, you gave them anesthesia without surgery. So we're not allowing the truth to set them free, to pull out whatever it is that's hurting them. We just gave them anesthesia. You come to church, you get your fix. You go home and you remain the same. I don't know for you, like, I went all in when it came to like the drug world and all. I went all in. So why would I not? I don't want to come do this just to come and, oh, hell, can then remain the same? I was out to prove God wrong. That really didn't work. It's funny, because when I sit with guys and they're smoking and we're, you know, because I like doing evangelism and stuff, I just believe that everybody should be doing that. Why do we got to wait for a church event to actually go out and pray for somebody? Today, a matter of fact, your assignment is that when you get out there, I want you to find me one person that's actually praying for somebody. And if you don't see somebody all day, then you ask yourself, are you part of the problem? Shouldn't be an event. Every day is an event. You have the truth. Why wouldn't you give it to someone? Maybe because you don't believe it yourself. See, when I got to beg you to go give something, and I got to consistently beg you to go do things, then that means you actually don't believe in the truth. Jesus always told him that he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is a good one. I usually tell people, hey, you know, sometimes I'll come up and say, did we worship? Because a lot of times we think that because we, oh, hail King Jesus. Some are like, oh, hail the Lord. I mean, you didn't jam like that to that country song coming here in the morning, and you didn't jam like that on Friday night. You jammed it because you believe in what that guy was saying. He was talking about breaking up and drinking, and you were like, yeah. But, you know, I don't know if he's King Jesus. I'll say that. I think about worship, and I think about, in school they teach you this. This is for all the people that are like, well, come on, give me some of that theology. Sure, in the book of Genesis, the law of first mention is where you see worship. And when you're trying to find something in the Bible, you always go to the first time that it was mentioned. And that's when Abraham was bringing his son to the altar. I'm sure he didn't have the strings and the instruments and the piano. It would have been cool. He just had him and his son. Meaning that worship is a posture of the heart where you are obedient. So when I worship, I am posturing my heart in a place, what do you need from me, Lord? I'm here to lift up your name, Lord. Worship. Those who worship must do it in spirit and in truth. Now, there's two types of people. There's the people that, you know, you need the word, which is true, but you need the spirit too. That's why he put them both. And then there's the other guy, you know, praise the Lord. We need the spirit of God. We've all done, I'm Puerto Rican and I like to dance and do all that crazy stuff too. I like calling it loopy. And it's super cool. I mean, you're like, oh, hell yeah, yeah. Y'all know. Yeah, don't look to the side. You're like, don't look to the side. And so what winds up happening is that's needed too, though, because the power is in the spirit. But you can't have the spirit without truth or the truth without spirit. Truth without spirit, you're dry. No power. You're just puffed up with knowledge. You know all these Bible verses. But to love your wife, that's the hardest thing in the planet. Which doesn't make sense to me. And then you have the spiritual, the loopy, without the truth. How can the spirit always testifies and draws witness to the truth? The spirit supposed to, you no longer live. It is him who lives in you by faith in the Son of God who died at the cross. I no longer live. So when a moment comes, I go to James 1. I start to think about God's wisdom. I don't doubt it. By faith, I move into the direction of truth by the spirit. I can't do it. It's so hard. You're right. You can't. But he can and he will if you allow and yield to letting the spirit move you into that truth. Everybody say truth. Truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured, no matter how we feel about it. It's not something that changes based on feelings or perspective. You can deny gravity is true. But if you go to the top of a building to prove it, you jump off of that thing, you're going to find out that gravity doesn't care about what you think about what gravity is. Splat, it's true. It doesn't matter what you think. You could be sitting here and going, I don't know if what this guy is saying is true. Prove it. I could tell you that I once was lost and now I'm found. I could tell you that I once was blind and now I see. I could tell you that at one time I was this horrible dad and I didn't meet my kids till 19. I could tell you that I did not know how to love a woman. I could tell you, I could go on and talk to you about things that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, but that surely I must have come here to speak to someone that might be going through something that might not be believing and yet your life is falling apart. And when will you believe one of the messages that you hear? He came to set the captives free. These are scriptures. These are Bible verses. He came to set the captives free. Free from what? Like, did he go to the local jail and open the door? No, he came to set us free from the lie. See, what's holding you captive, what has you bound in every area of your life, any part of your life that doesn't have abundant life. I got saved in 2008. Some of you have been in church a lot, way longer than that. I used to go to all these Celebrate Recoveries and I would be like the main speaker and I would always see people that, you know, I love the Lord, but they look like I'm like, what happened? Like, you still look like you get high. They're like, well, I'm looking for a job. I'm like, that's not the God I serve. Do you understand? Some of you are saying, hey, you know, I believe what you're saying. I believe you, pastor. And I'm like, man, do you? Because listen to the things you complain about. Listen to the way that you are in certain areas of your life. So what you're telling me, I'll tell people like, hey, they're like, man, you know, $50, you know, my life's over. I'm like, $50? You're like, you don't understand. I don't understand. I came out of TDCJ. They gave me $50 at the thing, and they gave me $50 at $100. I had $100 in the state of Texas with no family. My baby Ruth, though, was there. And so me and my baby Ruth, $100. 20 for Taco Bell. I got $80. And now I'm thinking, oh, man, when I get to the thing, you got to take a class because you got a drug conviction and the class costs $114. I go, man, you didn't even give me it. You set me up for failure. So I understand. Thing is that sometimes we become spiritually lazy. What? I tell people, I go, hey, do you believe that a guy raised a stick and the seas parted? And then all these people ran. And all of a sudden the water got the enemies and they wound up on the other side. I said, you believe that? They go, absolutely. I go, so you believe? I go, you're lying. You believe that seas parted, but God can't give you $50. You believe that Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, 4 days later, impossible situation. I don't know if y'all think about that, man. It's like he's in this grave. You see the spider. You see the worm that eats the spider. The spider, you know, the rat that eats the thing. Then the snake eats the thing, and everything flipped. You don't really think about that. Come out. Time lapse. Boom. You know what I'm saying? You believe that, but you can't believe he can restore your marriage. You don't believe that you can get your kids back. You don't believe. You don't believe that Billy will start to, like, you don't believe that? No, you don't, because you don't live that way. See, I believe, I tell my wife all the time, I get nervous before I come up here. Every time I'm going to write a book, I think the world's going to be like, oh, that guy, you know, prison. But I might not come in eloquent words, but I will come in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Come on, I can come in a sweater, I can come in a jacket. I almost tripped y'all out. I was going to come loud and everything. Then I said, no, that might be too much for them. That might be too much for them in the introduction, because most people think that your relationship with God is the outside appearance. See, you only recognize fruit when you know fruit. If you never tasted a mango, you don't know what a mango is like. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And once you learn, once you take a bite, you taste and see that it's good, you realize that there's a lot of people that aren't operating out of those things. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2, 3, 4 says, this is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved, everyone, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we wind up in John 8, 44, 46. Now I'm going to read that to you here in a minute, but just to give you a little preface of what's happening, a little context, this is Jerry Springer in the Bible. Do you remember when they used to bring him up? Who's your daddy? He is not the father. You remember that? Okay, well, that's exactly what's going on here. You know, the Pharisees, they're like, man, how could you say we need to be free? Well, I mean, Jesus' issue wasn't with the theology. It was the living of that theology. So, like, you say you know God, but I don't see it in your life. It's kind of like I'm Puerto Rican, and because I'm Puerto Rican, we grow up. Any Hispanics in the building? Come on. Now, some of you white folk might have had this Hispanic experience too. But, you know, my mom had plastic fruit. Right, so it wasn't real fruit, it was plastic. Some of y'all are showing your age, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was like the decoration of decorations, right? Like you, as a kid, you'd pluck out the plastic grape and my mom would be upset because there'd be grapes rolling on the ground. Look, he's smiling, he's like, yeah, my mom had that. And so it went from plastic to porcelain. You remember when it went to porcelain? Oh, now it was shiny, you really couldn't pluck it out because some parent got upset that the fruit kept getting missing. So they created a porcelain one, and now that's not going nowhere. That's the one that when I used to break it or break a chip, I would glue it with like my mom's fingernail polish, and you would see like an orange with a line like this. And some way, you thought you weren't going to get caught, right? But there it was. My mom's like, why does that orange have burgundy? You know, just. And so that's how we are today. See, my wife, when I got married, she put real fruit. And I was like in shock. I'm like, I grabbed a banana, brother, peeled that thing. I said, I figured out that real fruit has nutritional value, and it does something for me. We're good with plastic fruit in your life. It looks like love, but it's not. It looks like peace, but it's not, because you think all those things in the world can offer you, but only God can offer you. So here they're having this debate. They're like, we're free. They're like, you're not free. And he's like, you know, tell them no, you know, Abraham, you know, he's our father. They're like, he's, you know, Jesus was cold. I like to say gangster, but you know, this might not be the crowd for that. He just knew what he was going to say when he rolled up. I felt like he didn't sweat. There was only that one time in the garden, sweat blood, but I don't think he sweated any other time. I think he like laughed with the disciples. Did you hear what I told them? Because the crowd is waiting. Everybody's listening. You might be saying, you know what? God is my father. And he says, you're trying to kill me because my word has no place in you. See, most of people that just have churchianity and come to church because one day you will be born again. Right now you just come and we want you here. But the minute you get born again, hey, Nicodemus, he says, what must I do to enter to the kingdom? This guy read the Bible. This guy fasted. This guy prayed. He did all those things. He still said, what can I do to enter? You have to be born again. You have to unlearn everything you've learned, and you have to relearn everything all over again. Everything? Yeah, he said, come out of my mother again? Because that's what I would have. He said, no. In the spirit. And all of a sudden, they wind up here. This is good right here. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The only reliable source of truth is God's eternal word. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 reads like this. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. See, most people tolerate now something that sounds good. And there's a difference between something that sounds good and sound doctrine. He said, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and we'll turn aside to myths. This is the problem. When usually somebody gives you the truth, I always tell people, look, if you knew, like, let's say you wanted abs. I'm going to use that. I don't know. I went there. This is where we're going. Let's say you wanted abs, and you're talking to my son who has abs. He's going to speak to me in terms that are going to be totally different than how I think, because all I think is eat. He thinks salmon, fish, ounces. It's going to rub me wrong when we're sitting somewhere. He's like, bro, you're going to eat that? If he's my coach. And I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, yes. A lot of calories in that. So I get offended. It happens all the time. When you get somebody in the church and they're speaking from a truth and you don't know that truth yet, it rubs wrong. It agitates. But what we like doing is we like going to comfortable places, and we go to places where everybody's in agreement. That's why a lot of places you get offended, you find offended people to go open up an offended church. Because you don't want to be around those that agitate you with the truth. So you get offended and you find a little group, and you used to be cool with this side over here. Now you sit on this side and you go to a different service. Because you know what? Melinda should have never said that. She has no right to talk about my relationships, even though I've been in 5 and they've all been messed up. Who is she to tell me who I could date? And she's like, man, all I wanted to do was help her, tell her to stay, you know, single for a year to get healthy so that she could see. Do you get the point? And we get all bent out of shape because somebody tells us something that's true for your benefit. But you'll find people that'll say the same thing. It's cool, girl. It's your life. I mean, go date anyway. They're in the middle of adultery. Romans 1:25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Oh, man. You think we read that and we think it's somebody else, right? Like in your mind, you're thinking, I wish Billy was here today. But God's like, no, this is for you. This is for you. We're in a constant state of progressive deliverance. You know, when we talk about, well, how do you know that truth is important? It's in the armor. It's the belt of truth and the sword of truth. If you take the belt off, the pants fall down to the feet and you trip over your piece because the shoe's a piece. So it's supposed to be a shield of faith. So when the darts of the enemy are coming, you fight that and then you swing. And this keeps your loins girded. We just don't want to accept truth anymore. We exchange it for what God can do for us. That's the only reason we come here. Because we're selfish. Rather than seeking ye the kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. I'll close with this verse, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. Am I okay? Time? Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. How do we respond to people? You want, this is your deliverance verse. Because first I had to get you to think that the truth, the knowledge of the truth for yourself. Because you don't want to spread unhealthy. That's what I love about your pastors. They're always thinking about their health. They always go to rest. Like I'm almost a little jealous. I go, man, there they go again. And then I think to myself, and me and my wife go, man, they're just staying healthy. And then we start praying for them. And why? Because you're going to be healthy. Their kids are going to be healthy at the level that they're healthy. So once you accepted the truth for you, this is what it says, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. We lost 80 to 90% on social media. I think quick to listen, slow to speak. I think if it was written today, it would have said quick to listen and slow to type. Because your fingers are connected to your heart, right? So now we're like, I didn't say nothing, but you do it in hidden messages. I'm going to tell Pastor Nathan. And you use scripture to fight it too. Devil is a lie. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Oh, gentleness. I used to think that being gentle was a punk. Now I'm gentle. But then I learned this, that gentleness or meek, the meek shall, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Ooh, man, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, let's find out what gentleness is. So there's a horse, and you know he's bucking because he's wild. And you're the horse, by the way. Jesus is the guy on your back. And he is going to stay on there until he can break you, not from being mean. He's not being mean to you. He's going to get on there until you can listen. That talks about putting a bit in your mouth. Because you've been hurt a lot. And so your heart, you're not receiving. See, today though, today, the creator of the universe, this is how much he loves you. He stopped everything to come talk to you. There's the difference between, man, God is speaking to me, or I just came to church. I can just imagine times where Jesus would be in the room. You think people would have to be primed and pumped? Or do you think that when Jesus was in the room, you would sit like Mary? Some of us are distracted with everything else. You said, only one thing is necessary. We have like a list of 40 things. He's like, one thing, hang to my words, hang to this truth. This gentleness, he just wants you to submit to the Holy Spirit when you're talking to somebody, to be able to be patient, to teach them. Romans 15 in the Passion Translation says it like this, to embrace the immaturity of another person, to come down to their level so that you can speak to them. You said, that's not deliverance. Well, let's keep going. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, because when I sit and I begin to speak to you and somehow the Holy Spirit starts going into your heart, because I might not know, but he knows every single thing about you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He saw you when you took a left and a right. He saw relationships, people calling you things that you believed that you were. And all of these sacrifices that you've made. And yet you can't get forward because those lies are holding you bound. And even though I feel like the Lord is really pulling me this way, this is for everyone. Look what it says, repentance. He'll grant them repentance. You know what he does? You were thinking one way, but today you go, maybe this guy's right. Because I've taken the time to slow something down. The creator of the universe just wants to talk to you, tells you how much he loves you. And for everything that might be there to destroy you, he has a truth that will redeem you and build you up and take you places that you no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what the Lord has for those who love God. He will grant it, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they will come to their senses, escape the trap of the devil. Sounds like deliverance to me. Who has taken them captive to do his will. He's taken them captive how? The lie. To do what? His desires. See, you've been thinking that it's just been about the thing, like the marijuana or whatever, the relationship. It's never about this thing. It's a heart issue. And so if he could change your heart, then these things change out here. It's an inside job. See, you keep trying to change a new relationship or a new drug or a new place or a new church or a new job or a new husband or a new wife. That's isn't going to do anything. Because no matter where you wind up, there you are. So he changes in here. And then I become. And then this is how I find my, right? So I want everybody to get on your feet. This is something that I didn't do in the first service, but I asked permission. And so I want you to do something. I know they have a way of doing things. We're going to just throw a little wrench in the thing. You know, it's my favorite thing to do right now. He teaches me structure. I cringe him. What is he doing? But I love the fact that he's like, man, if God is doing something, and I believe he is. I believe that the Spirit is moving in this room. And you either sit where you are in your pride, but if God is speaking to you, I just want you to take a moment and say this, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And as God is speaking to you, and they're going to begin to sing, I need you to start moving your way up to the front. The prayer partners will come. They'll come. You just start moving. I need you to move by faith. I'm going to pray for you. They're going to pray for you. If you feel that tug in your heart, please don't wait for somebody else to move. Just move. Meet me. Thank you, sir. Come on, move. If you feel that tug, come on. Don't wait for other people to move. Like by faith, go, God is talking to me. Today is my day of freedom. Today I receive my healing. Today I break free from addiction. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and there will be salvation in your house. I need you to move. Hallelujah. Let me see. Fight my battles. And that's how we fight them. I believe in the laying of the hands. We're going to lay some hands. Where's some folks? I got some over there. Okay. Come on, bring them to me. Can you bring them this way? Yeah. Oh, those are the guys. Bring them to me. Come on.
There's more.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. How's it going, man? Let me turn this off.
If you're part of the altar team, our altar team, you can come and help lay hands on these people. So if you're a part, even though you're not scheduled, just come and help us lay hands on this man, please.